guys. Welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, we are talking about the Chat Roulette horror film from 2012, which, according to IMDb, only sold 30,000 copies on its release. I own one of them, and that is the movie Smiley. Holy shit, Smiley is one of the most poorly made, poorly executed, poorly thought out movies I've ever seen. So I figure, why not force two of my most beloved friends to watch it for the lulz?
It was called The Candyman of the Digital Age, Matt.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and you know what? They're really trying to be Candyman right out the gate with this fucking movie. So this film has a jump scare in like the first 30 seconds of the movie.
Well, what bothered me the most about this is I watched this at 11 o'clock at night while Jade was trying to sleep upstairs. And this was one of those movies that in order to really, really enhance the scares, they would make it so the volume is so low. So when they're speaking, it's so low and you have to have your volume up so high. And then the smallest jump scare is like blowing out your speakers.
Yeah.
Work.
It doesn't scare you. It just annoys the shit out of you.
Yeah. And then there's like, so the premise of this movie, as I said up front, is basically a chat roulette killer, which leads me to a question I need to ask you guys, first of all.
Okay.
Like, chat roulette was one of the biggest mistakes in history, but did any of you guys ever go on it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, probably to try and meet girls, huh?
No, we had this thing where me and my friend Jordan, we would get a girl to sit on chat roulette and we would just be off of his laptop. And when a dude would be jerking off, we would get her to start unbuttoning her shirt or start lifting it up, and then we would just jump out in our underwear and we're like, "You're doing it! You're doing it! Keep doing it!" And it's so funny to watch them if I could paint a picture over the phone, you just see someone's hand going really fast, and then it slows down, stops, clicks on the mouse, and then you're just on the next person.
So I was on chat roulette once. It was a bunch of us were at a house and my friend had a puppet. So we were like, "Hey, let's just put the puppet on chat roulette." And
I think I've heard this story.
Continue. Yeah. And it was my friend Lauren, and Lauren is adorable. Like, Lauren's like one of the cutest girls I know. And these like high school kids from, I think they were in Canada. But they weren't from Canada. They were from like another country, and they were doing a field trip to Canada. Ended up talking to us and the puppet for like 30 minutes on chat roulette. And we're like, "Wow, what nice kids." So we like put down the puppet and like got on camera. And as soon as they saw Laura, and their entire demeanor changed, and they're like, "Boobs, show us your boobs." Like, it was like, just went from like, "Oh, what nice, like, middle school, high school kids," to just like, "Flip them out." But
flip them out.
I assume that they don't know how boobs work. They're kids.
Yeah. But Jesus, man, that's what paints the picture for me.
And then the other thing I always remembered was Ben Folds, for like a year, whenever he would play a show, he would project chat roulette.
Oh, that's right. Screen, yeah.
And he would sing songs about whatever was popping up on chat roulette until they clicked the next button to switch
but he had
over.
To stop because there were too many dicks, right?
Yeah, dicks kept popping up on the screen, which, like, he would write songs about it, but people were getting offended. Mostly the people whose dicks were projected in front of an entire stadium of people, but
maybe
whatever.
Yeah.
I love, in the beginning of this movie, we got little girl exposition who's sitting there, and she's just like, you know, "I don't want it to go all smiley on me."
She's like, God.
But here's the thing. So I told you already that there's like plot holes out the ass in this movie, and a big chunk of it is this first part, because you find out that the babysitter with this little girl is part of, hey, spoiler alert, Anonymous and 4chaner, who's behind the Smiley killer, and yeah, she's a member of Anonymous, but this little girl is telling her about the Smiley mythos. But I think the whole concept was that they just created it recently. Like, they hadn't even started to do the Smiley stuff yet. So it was just like, none of that makes sense to me at all. The scene is completely pointless. It's just there as a red herring to the twist in the movie. That's not even that good of a twist.
No, it's a shitty twist. I don't know how you guys watch this. Did you watch it on your computer or on a pretty big size television?
I watched it on my tiny ass TV.
Okay, so maybe you didn't see it. Maybe Scott did, depending on his monitor size or if you're watching on the TV. But this is the most shaky, non-found footage movie I've ever watched. Like, they have no stabilizer.
That's so weird. Also, it's not that weird because everything about this movie was a mistake.
Yeah. The final girl, immediately after the scene Matt's talking about, is probably the least likable final girl.
Oh, she's awful. I've
ever met. As soon as she starts, you're just like, okay, kill her.
I have a quote written down, and I think it's from our final girl, but I can't remember. Is she the one that goes, I just smoked pot. Did that come out right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Just the worst. But before we get to that, I want to talk about the quote-unquote smiley kill that happens with the babysitter.
Well, we got to talk about this babysitter first of all. Yeah. So
that's why I wrote down, like, who is this character that seems to be about 18 or 19? It looks like, I'm not sure if you've ever been to, I used to work at a store in the mall called Habitat that was like basically a head shop, but it looks like a head shop threw up in her room because it's like lava lamps and like the big fucking blanket on the wall. And she's just walking around listening to opera. Like, what 19-year-old is just like.
Okay, this is my actual full note. So, okay, well, the thing that I want to talk about is that she's basically here to be the sex appeal of this movie because there's no nudity, just ass shots of this girl. And it all happens in the first 5 minutes. So the very first scene in this movie is this lingering male gaze ass shot of her on the bed on her phone. Well, and I'm like, why is your sister coming in? And then the dad comes in and is like, can you take a check or something like that?
Yeah. The second jump scare in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't make any sense to me that why is she sitting on this bed, not babysitting?
Yeah.
She's like the shittiest babysitter. But anyway, so she's also wearing like, she's in these, you know, tight little mini panty shorts or whatever, and wearing falsies, like false eyelashes, just sitting on the bed. And then we see her next in this house. So yes, college girls listen to opera in their undies and go to sketchy chat rooms. But then the real reality sets in of how does this babysitter have an entire furnished house to herself?
That is another big question.
So here's my guess on that. I have a theory on that at the very least. I think all of these anonymous assholes all live in one house together.
But well, that wouldn't make any sense so. Because where were they? Like, why would she, it doesn't make any sense that they would fake kill her. Like, why would she be acting scared?
Well, they fake kill her because she knows that their plan, it's so convoluted. But their plan is they're having a party and they've got our final girl there who's been brought there by her roommate. And they're like, if you notice in the opening scene, the guy that she's chatting with is the guy when they're at the party with the final girl. He's doing the other side of that scene.
Yeah, we noticed that deep cut.
Yeah, I know. No, but what I'm saying is like, so she has to make it believable because it's being set up for that girl that they're trying to fuck.
But I think what Scott's saying, and it's one of the questions I raised,
walking around the house where there's no camera.
She's not on her laptop. And she's visually terrified.
This is true. Hey, she's very good at acting.
Yeah, she's a method actor.
Yeah, okay. The character is. The actual actress is horrible at acting.
Oh, my God. They're all so bad at acting.
Most of them are YouTube stars. That's the problem.
Oh, that explains it.
That I did recognize the that one kid. The black kid was definitely big on YouTube. But still, why does every male in this movie, regardless of the age, there is some sexual tension?
Yeah.
In every scene. When she's the babysitter, you think that the dad's about to fuck her. The teacher wants to fuck her. The only person.
Oh my God, that teacher.
Like, yeah, the only person that seems like they're not trying to fuck a child is the
Pedo Bear.
Pedo Bear, yeah. Pedo,
not Shy Ronnie. The fucking
Shy Ronnie?
It's a Lonely Island.
It's a Lonely Google Island
Shy Rocky right now and tell me it doesn't look like a fucking pedo bear. The cop from Community. And whatever else is he from.
Oh, yeah, Shy Ronnie. Oh, man, I had forgotten about Shy Ronnie.
There's one more thing I want to talk about. Though.
What year was this movie?
Oh, 2012, which was well past the scene hair stage.
Yeah, like if it was 2008, maybe.
And that wasn't a you're getting it like really confused with the times, because I was involved in like the whole scene things, and like there were nerds in the scene, there were nerds that went to shows, but they didn't have that look. Like that was a very specific like emo guitar.
Yeah, that was the guitarist of a screamo band haircut that everyone was rocking right there.
Yeah.
There's at least one more thing I want to talk about in the first 5 minutes of this movie. We're 11 minutes in this episode. there's a mistake in the first 5 minutes of the movie, because the guy is sending her the I did it for the lulz thing for the smiley killer to jump out at her, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it cuts to her screen to show that... And it says that she wrote it. Like, it says you instead of stranger, which is how it shows for every other scene in the movie, which makes me think that they forgot to actually film it and then just had to pull footage from a different sequence where someone had typed it to make up for the fact that it happened.
No, I think it was just a fuck up on their end forgetting the whole plot of the movie, because the whole thing was she looks terrified after she sees it because she sees that she wrote it. So they just...
Wait, what?
Like,
it's like Smiley is supposed to, if he's supposed to kill anybody who does it themselves.
No, he's supposed to kill anybody that says it to someone. But I think that their whole thing was she heard a noise. She went back on her computer. She saw that someone on her end wrote, I did it for the lulz. I did it for the lulz.
She
gets nervous.
See, that would be a much better tension builder, because that would mean that the killer is already in the house.
Yeah. So let me also point out something in this opening scene that bothers me. So let's say, hypothetically, you're on chat roulette.
Yes.
And someone says, it's a shame I have to kill you. You're just going to minimize that screen and walk away? You're going to click that next button?
Because
I was like, why is she minimizing the screen? What more does she want to get from this dorky guy on chat roulette? He's clearly bad news.
And another huge plot hole in this movie is, I get it, everything's staged, blah, blah, blah. If right now chat roulette was still a thing, right? And I said, Scott and Matt, let's go on chat roulette. And we next until we hit each other, it would take hours if even possible.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking the peak of chat roulette. Millions of people on it, and it randomly puts you with someone. That's the whole point. It's roulette. So how? That is the first how. How did they plan this? To be like, okay, it's going to end up on this guy. He's going to be in on it.
Maybe they're elite hackers.
Yeah.
So they say the I did it for the lulz thing a shit so ton much in this movie. But, and I wish that I remembered how he said it, but one of the guys at the party says it in the most insane way that I had to write it down. But I watched this on Thursday, so it's completely gone from my memory. But I think he's just like, I did it for the lulz. Like, he
said yeah, like, something like that.
I was like, what is happening?
This is the most fellow kids movie I think I've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like, it's definitely someone writing about the dangers of the internet who's like never used the internet. They're like, I'm pretty sure this is what this does.
Yeah. It's a series of tubes.
Well, and then you've got this school where it's a requirement to take intro to reason and logic. Like, what fucking school is that a required class? And this girl is going to fail because she has no logic in anything that she does the rest of the movie.
Like, what about Mark, though? Mark is such a great character. And I mean that in total sarcasm. It's just like, Mark, why is this a required class? Because we had to take it. And it was like, yeah, Mark is crazy.
He just wandered in from Dude Bro Party Massacre 3 into this movie by mistake. Well, and then, like,
investigation.
Well, like, because I wrote down, like, the, you know, she's going to fail this logic class because it's not that soon after that her roommate Proxy is telling her about the Somali killer, and she's like, well, what you gotta do is you gotta do it to someone else so that you can prove to yourself that it's fake. And she's like, that sounds like a good plan. Like, that's not good logic ever. No. Just ignore it. That's my solution to most things.
Yeah, most of your problems.
I spent the first half of this movie trying to figure out if it's supposed to be a genuine horror or if it's supposed to be like super meta. And then 45 minutes in, I'm like, the answer to this isn't going to change how I feel about this movie.
Exactly.
So I just gave up.
I think it's supposed to be meta, but it's still a failure. Like, regardless, they still really, the only thing that I like about this movie, and you guys will definitely make fun of me about it, I kind of dig the look of Smiley. Like, not when he's on screen and it looks like he's got a stocking over his head, but like when it's
she has the nightmare.
Yeah, like where it's like the actual stitched up face and eyes. Like, I'm like, that actually looks really fucking cool.
And they made that prosthetic for someone.
Yeah,
and they had it like spewing blood into her mouth. In that,
yeah, like there's great. Cool scenes. Yeah, there's cool scenes with that. But that's not the Smiley that we see for 95% of the movie. We see like a weird stalking over someone's face that looks like a face. The teacher in this movie is played by Roger Bart.
Who I've seen him in a lot of stuff.
Well, I was going to say, he is so much better than this film. Like, he's...
I know.
He, like, his first role was he was the voice of Hercules in the Disney film Hercules. He did.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
But he's a Broadway guy. He's won like 3 times.
What? Like, how did they get? Was he like really hungry this month?
He had to have been. I'm like, what are you doing in this movie? Like, you have no reason to. You are a talented. You are on the original cast of The Producers, and now you're in Smiley? Like, what is happening?
I think, and he made me chuckle. He was the only person that made me chuckle, and it's really not funny, but for some reason it did just get me to
is it the turn to page like 26?
Yeah, turn to page 26. Oh, that's a picture of me. This is stupid.
The only good joke in a 95-minute movie that semi hits. It doesn't even kill. It just hits enough that it's better than the rest of the movie.
Yeah. It's like the cheerleader effect. It's like you're just surrounded by so much bullshit that it's better by
Proxy.
Proxy.
Yeah, that was a great name too.
Yeah. Well, and I think the idea is that they're supposed to be like their handles instead of their real names.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like,
oh no, I understand that. It's just stupid.
But I think most of them just have regular names, except for Proxy.
Yeah, she doesn't have a real name in the whole film, right? She's always Proxy. Yeah,
she's just always Proxy. And like, I get it. But like, there was a long period of time when I was booking shows back in like 2004. I did all the booking through Instant Messenger. So, like, I would contact the bands through Instant Messenger or MySpace, and my username was Saint Mort. So, like, when people met me, that's all they called me. So, like, I get it. Like, sometimes you just have, like, an internet handle and it kind of sticks.
Dude, but, like, you're still in my phone as Matt Saint Mort.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If you kept calling me Saint Mort, I'd be like, my name's Matt, by the way. Like, I don't want people to call me Saint Mort.
Like, what if we're 8 years into our friendship and I was like, hey, Saint Mort? Like,
I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, like, and nothing against people that are actually on the autism spectrum, but this movie does not make them look good. You know, like,
It's like a movie about it is a movie about internet trolls. Like, that's what it comes down to. And it's never more apparent than the one line where the guy's like, when you're an asshole on the internet, you make some enemies. Like, it's just like, what is this movie trying to be?
But then they have to talk about ethics, man. And they say retarded a lot. Like, this movie was 2012, and he's like, I enjoy the strange and retarded. And I'm like, that's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable, and I agree, but it does make sense if all of these characters are supposed to be 4chan trolls, because that is a word that I'm sure still gets thrown around all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Kudos for your attention to detail, sir.
Man, this movie's so shitty. Like,
it's a lot of miss. But here's the thing, and I will say this with complete sincerity. The reason why I bought this movie, I buy movies for one of two reasons. A, because I think that they're genuinely good movies. That's not what the category that this one falls into.
Of course, yeah.
The other one is like, they're bad, but they're like a certain level of bad where it's like, if I have a bunch of people over, this is probably going to be a fun one to like throw on in the background that you can like kind of make jokes about how poorly done it is. And that's the one saving grace of this movie, is that it's just the right level of bad as opposed to like other movies where it's like, this is unwatchable. Like, bad comedies, you just can't do.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can't have fun with a bad comedy. You can usually have fun with a bad horror film. And this one, it isn't Sick. It isn't Invisible Maniac, but it's...
Oh, you take Invisible Maniac off that list. Invisible Maniac is a fucking national treasure.
It is a good one.
Okay, so I remember a couple days ago before I watched this, I had an illegal copy that I was going to watch, and it didn't work. And so I messaged the guys. I'm telling the listener that, you know, I'm messaging the guys. I'm saying, God damn it, I wasn't going to pay for this movie, but I have to watch it for $3.99 or something on YouTube. And which I thought was quite ironic that the only place to watch it was YouTube, to rent it, you know, since, you know, it's got a bunch of YouTube stars. So I'm going to spend the money to watch it. And Matt says, well, if it's any consolation, that 4chan hates this movie for existing. And I said something to the effect of, well, that's good, because everything I do in my life is to piss off 4chaners. But the thing is that I know why 4chaners hate this film, because it makes them look like, one, that they hang out together. Two, they aren't fat neck beards that smell like a dumpster full of dirty diapers.
Yeah.
And three, that they drink and fuck, which are, none of these things are true. They hate this movie because it makes their pathetic lives look glamorous. Like, I don't understand why. First of all, there would be no quote unquote anonymous party. Are you here for the anonymous party? Oh, I don't know. You know, like, it's just so dumb. It's like, it, as Matt said, it completely misses the mark on what internet culture is. But I mean, it's entertaining for our show. I'm not
it misses the mark on how a movie is made. Like, there's a scene where Ashley has a nightmare and she punches Proxy in the face.
Yeah.
I have never seen so much blood coming out of someone's face in my entire life.
Worse. My nose could be gushing blood.
Yeah. Seriously, the Penguin bit off someone's nose in Batman Returns, and there was less blood than this like love slap in the face from a nightmare. And like, the middle of this movie could just go right to hell. Like, the first movie is like, the first like half hour is poorly made, but it's like kind of almost entertainingly poorly made. The middle, it's like, it's not even fun dumb anymore. It's just stupid. Like, you're just like frustrated with how stupid it is. And then you get to the last 10 minutes where just all logic goes out the window, as well as our final girl.
Nice.
She jumps out the window to her death when a bunch of people just as smiley all converge upon her. And then, like, this is where we find out it's the work of Anonymous, and they're listening to opera again, which, like, trust me, 4chan people ain't listening to no fucking opera.
Yeah.
And their theory is insane. Like, it's like, okay, so we're going to create this mass hysteria, and now other people are going to recreate the smiley killer and actually start killing people for real. Like, that's their plan? Like, what? Like, Bloody Mary has been in existence for as long as I've lived, and I've never heard of anyone killing someone because they thought of the Bloody Mary.
It's pretty much based off the one incident where,
with Slender Man?
Yeah, with those young girls in Slender
Man. But that's what's so weird, is that Slender Man happened after this movie was made, wasn't it?
The girls killing?
The actual murder?
Yeah.
I mean, 2012? We gotta
see. You're the serial killer lover, dude. Like, figure it out.
Yeah, real serial killers.
Don't be such a gatekeeper about serial killers.
There is one other line in this movie that I need to bring up, though, which is one of the last lines in the movie.
2 years after this movie was made.
So this predicted it. Smiley was actually ahead of its time.
Said no one ever. Jesus.
There's a line in this movie towards the very end, after everything's happened and they're celebrating the fact that they caused our final girl, Ashley, to jump out the window. our main anonymous guy sits down and he goes, I kind of have a boner. Is that weird?
Ugh.
It's just like, what? And then Smiley ends up being real. He kills Proxy. He actually looks awesome in that scene. So there's the two cool scenes with Smiley. And then I doubt you guys stuck around, but there's a post-credit sequence.
Oh, yeah. No, I did not stick
around. So I knew about it, and I looked for it. And I don't think that the version that I saw had it. But it's literally alive, right?
2 seconds. Yeah, it's just all the credits go, and then it cuts to Ashley real quick, and she opens her eyes, and then it cuts to black. It's literally like 3 seconds, so it's very easy to miss it.
So here's my question about that. Are they saying that Smiley is real, or are they saying that Ashley killed them, that she survived and she killed them?
I think the latter is too smart.
Yeah, I think it's that Smiley is unexplainably real, but has only worked now that they've started the myth of Smiley.
Oh, no, I like that.
Yeah, like, I think that it's kind of a little bit of that, like, new nightmare concept of, like, yeah, once you create a demon, the demon becomes a reality type thing.
Okay, so now I like that.
How much better this movie would have been if fucking they're at the party, right? They type in, I did it for the lulz, I did it for the lulz, I did it for the lulz. Same thing happens, but then the Smiley gets fucking gashed. The person dressed as Smiley.
Well, I would,
and then the girl pops up, see that it was all a knack, she gets gashed, and then the whole group of kids is trying to deal with the fact that this whole prank they just made up is actually real. Could have been a better movie.
So I would say yes and no. I would say you keep the first 30 minutes, and then you jump to the last 10 minutes. So the middle of the movie is where the twist is. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's anonymous. What did I watch? A short film? And then they realize that they actually did create Smiley, and now it's like Smiley's coming to pick all of them off.
So I really, I dig that idea a lot, surprisingly. Yeah,
like, that would have improved this movie tenfold.
Well, I mean, it would have made it a great modern horror movie. Well, as long as it would have been...
Not YouTube stars?
Yeah, well, also it would have been cool if they would have had the acting and script specifically bad, you know, like intentionally bad. Yeah. And then when you do the twist where Smiley is real, then they actually have good script writing and acting.
I say we sell our idea to Brett from You Might Be the Killer and be like, hey man, you ever consider remaking Smiley? We've got an idea for you. Because I think that he could handle the like, hey, this needs to be intentionally stupid for the first, like, 30 minutes.
I'm only signing on to this if we have Steve the Kayak King involved.
He's Smiley.
Oh! Is it weird that I got a boner?
All right, so is there anything else that you guys have to say? This might be the longest we've ever talked about a movie on this show.
Every time, dude.
I just want to reiterate how it disappoints me. Roger Bart, I'm disappointed in you for being in this movie, you know, because you didn't have to, because the same year you filmed Freaky Deaky with Christian Slater, who was in Heathers with Winona Ryder, who wasn't Beetlejuice.
I was hoping.
I kind of had a feeling that Roger Bart was the only option for this one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I am.
Thank God for that. You almost had nothing.
Yeah, I am. I'm offended.
No,
by
if he can get through Sick, he can get through Smiley.
It's not that I couldn't get through it. I'm offended by it because it takes two things and it's offensive. You know, this movie is offensive to horror, the genre, and it's starring a bunch of people that are offensive to comedy. Like, YouTube stars are the epitome of just bad comedy that shouldn't be famous, and this movie shouldn't have been made. And the fact that it is next to Texas Chainsaw Massacre on YouTube, and you can rent Texas Chainsaw Massacre for $2 less than this movie.
Wow.
Infuriates me. Yeah.
Do you think it would have been better if they used more internet personalities? Like, if they had the angry, the annoying orange in here, and Fred, and...
No,
I don't know, the Chocolate Rain guy.
They made a Chocolate Rain reference.
They absolutely did.
Stupid references in this movie.
Like, I don't get how these people, me and my friend John, who was at your house, Scott, for a little bit, we'll just send each other YouTube stars and Facebook stars videos. And, like, it'll just be like, I'll send him a video, and then he'll respond 47 seconds or 52 seconds. And it's just how long we can get through it. Because they're so unfunny.
I have to see so many girls down here and in PA share that Help Helen Smash video. And it's like, it's been the same joke for 2 years. 2 years, it's been the same joke. Oh, she makes sexual innuendos about her boyfriend.
A stupid face. That's like all. Oh my God. Help Helen Smash is the worst fucking thing in the world. Like, it was funny one time. It was.
Yeah. But they milk it. YouTube stars milk everything. Bo Burnham, this is no shot at you. You are a genius.
Well, so here's what I like. My question for you then is, you remember how everybody was always giving a lot of shit to Family Guy for doing the, like, you know, like when Peter would fall and hurt himself and like just beat a dead horse with the joke. Yes. That's what YouTube stardom feels like to me.
Yeah, and it's like my anxiety can't deal with the one thing my anxiety can't deal with, and I'm glad I don't see them anymore.
The one thing, or just one of the million things?
One of the million things.
There we go.
The videos where it's like how to, and it's like how to make something or something, and this person just destroys their kitchen, like just like starts like throwing dirt and slamming a milk bottle. Like it's like
what?
How to make a cake. You never saw those?
Oh, you mean they're. They're the fake how-tos.
Yeah, but they end up just destroying it. I'm like, you're making such a big mess for such a little reward.
No, they're making their money, dude. That there's some ridiculous amount of money in YouTube, or else these dumb shits wouldn't be on there.
Yeah, I guess so. I just can't deal with it.
Yeah, no, it's frustrating, and this is why we need Vine to come back, because Vine stars were always so much better than YouTube stars.
I don't know, dude. You've said that more than once.
No, they are. Like, the thing is, they are the Vine stars. They're the Vine stars.
But they're given more than 6 seconds, and they don't know what to do with themselves.
And people don't understand what ridiculous content. Like, people try to do what Hot American Summer does, and they just don't know how to do it, where it's like, they'll be like, I'm in the shower. Let me grab my shampoo. This is an orange. And everyone's like, a million likes, a million shares. This is comedy. It's not comedy. It's not comedy.
You are so mad.
I know. And now I'm sweating. And now
well, pure comedy is a video like where it's two friends hanging out. And one friend's like, hey, man, can I have some of that Capri Sun? And then they just start chugging the juice. And then when it cuts back to the other dude, he's naked for some reason. which was Brian's first short film that he did.
I see it.
Juice. I think the thing I love about Juice so much is, like, although my skits aren't good, and I know they're not good, and maybe that's why I'm so angry, most of them are written. Most of them are we discuss. It's all done within a day, and then editing and is done within like another day or two, and then we release it. But Juice was thought of, shot, edited, and put out in 30 minutes. 30 minutes we created that thing from the idea to it being posted on Facebook, and it is still my favorite thing we've ever done.
I mean, I still love the Joseph Gordon-Levitt one, but that's just me.
That is just you. And me.
Hey, Toxic here.
And Meridon, too.
We're the hosts of the Overleague podcast.
Are you a fan of Overwatch League, or just a fan of Overwatch in general?
Well, if you are, we break down matches and all other Overwatch happenings, and we won't judge your main.
Tune in every other Tuesday to the Overleague on Geekscape, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so what was your guys' double feature with Smiley?
Oh, wow. My double feature with Smiley would
I'm
be...
I'm going to pop in. Fear.net.
Oh, God.
I've never seen it. I just know it's fucking terrible.
Yeah, I'm gonna do what Scott usually does, which is the way this game's supposed to be played, is I have no idea how the movies are. Never heard of the movies. If I'm going to rent Smiley... let's just say it's Blockbuster in 2019. I go to Blockbuster and I'm getting two videos from 2019. I'm renting 2012 Smiley and then probably 2018 Slender Man.
Ooh, man, yeah, that's punishing.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I'll go with kind of the easy one. I'll rent Smiley and then I'll rent Candyman 2 Farewell to Flesh because I always thought that was the better box art.
So here's a question. I love the box art for, I mean, the poster art too, for Candyman 2. I don't know if I ever saw it. Is it any good?
No.
Yeah.
It's okay, but the box art's fucking fantastic.
Let me look this up.
It's an eye with a B on it.
Oh.
Thought that was, I think that's the Candyman. The one that I'm thinking of was the one that was in the back of every comic book where it's the girl and she's got like the whole beehive around her and she's got like bees coming out of her face.
Oh, yeah.
I had to research that because I thought that you were thinking of something else, because I'm not blown away by that.
I'm not either.
All right.
I remember
Candyman 3 and Candyman 1's cover art's better.
Wait, is there a third Candyman?
Yeah, Candyman 1 is, I know this from Google. I had no idea there was a third Candyman, but Candyman 1 is just the eye with Candyman in like the pupil and a bee on the eyeball. And then Candyman 3 is just an eye with a bunch of bees surrounding the eyeball.
Wow, 1999.
Oh, so that's getting added to the list.
it should. Have any of us seen it? I haven't.
No, I haven't. Definitely haven't.
Oh, man, we got to do it.
Yeah, and Tony Todd's in it. God bless him, dude.
I mean, Tony Todd has to be in it, right?
I mean, I don't think so.
And I want to defend my Candyman 2 thing, because I did just look at all the posters, and you're right, that is the worst of the three. I think it's just the nostalgia of it being at the back of every comic book I read in the 90s. Like, I'm just like, oh, man, nostalgia. Like, the same reason why I always think of the Splatterhouse.
Yeah.
Being in the middle of every comic book, and I've never played that game, but I have nostalgia for the game Splatterhouse just because of that.
And yeah, I get if Matt Kelly, 13 years old, he's reading a comic, he gets to the back, there's an advertisement for any horror movie. That Friday he's at Blockbuster and sees the same box art he saw on the back of his comic book. That's a 90% chance he's going to go home with that movie.
Yeah, but unfortunately, this was like 7 year old Matt who was afraid of everything. All of horror movies.
Yeah.
Versus 33 year old Matt who's also scared of
everything.
Just tries to pretend that he isn't to look cool.
If we're gonna mention Dude Bro Party Massacre once in the episode, we should mention it again. You're basically like the drunk guy. Like the guy with the DTs who's like, ha, 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 and then his hand shakes.
Yeah. So is that it? You love horror now just to try to cover up the fact of everything else you're scared of? Like, what do you mean? I love horror movies. Why would I let something like human contact interfere with fear?
I mean, isn't that the reason why we're all on this show?
Yeah, first of all, I haven't slept because it's like coming down to like 3 months where we have to go to this con, this fucking convention.
Oh, you've never been to Monster Mania?
No, man. This is cool. I get to hang out with you guys, and I don't even really have to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, it's like we can just exist next to each other.
Now it's like, oh, I got to be around people. Which is funny that I mock Matt for, because Matt is easily the most outgoing, charismatic out of all three of us in public.
For sure. And I don't understand it at all.
But all right, that was Smiley from 2012 as picked by this guy.
And you're welcome.
Before I forget, this is kind of the last episode where you guys have a chance to put in your requests for listener submitted month for April, because starting in the beginning of February, we're cutting it off. We're going to pick our movies and figure out what we're going to watch for April. So hmnpodcast@gmail.com is the place that you want to be submitting that stuff. Also visit our website at hmnpodcast.com, and you know, all of the, I mean, that's basically our handle on everything. So go find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of that good stuff. And please, if you haven't before, take a second to rate and review us on iTunes. Apparently it helps us more than even we know. And if you absolutely love Horror Movie Night, then you should do yourself a favor and head over to the Patreon page, patreon.com/HMN podcast, where you're able to donate some money towards us. And, you know, it keeps us going. It keeps us going to conventions. But additionally, you get a shit ton of bonus content. We're doing almost a bonus episode every week of different things. So there'll be discussion episodes, there'll be interviews with some of the guests that we have on the show, all types of cool stuff. So do not miss out. This month we're talking about Street Fighter, so, you know, enjoy that piece of trash that we
suffered. So somebody enjoys it.
please, somebody. And next week, we're going to take it easy. We're just going to lay back. We're going to turn on the radio, enjoy some sweet tunes, and maybe we'll just see where it takes us. See what happens while we're listening to the radio.
Oh, only if you're so happy.
Yeah. So happy new year, everybody. Especially Casey. We love you so much, Casey.
Oh, and yeah. Casey, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel free to send us nice emails. We like them.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.